The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
This morning, civilians woke to two blasts and saw plumes of smoke emerging from two separate neighbourhoods in Beirut's southern suburbs. Now, the last time Beirut was hit was on October 10th, when two strikes near the city centre killed 22 people. The Israeli attack on Beirut occurred only hours after the United States said it opposed Israeli attacks on the capital of Lebanon. The United States have also given Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu an ultimatum. They've said they've given Israel 30 days to improve humanitarian aid to Gaza or risk losing military funding. I'm joined on the line by Professor Paul Rogers, Emeritus Professor of Peace Studies at Bradford University. Paul, good morning.
Good morning. Hello.
What is the strike this morning on Beirut? What kind of a message is that sending back to Antony Blinken?
I think it's basically telling the Americans that it is more or less business as usual. And there's been another strike on the southern Lebanese city of Nabatea that apparently actually struck the municipal buildings when essentially a meeting at the town council was in progress and the mayor was one of the people killed. So essentially, I don't think the Israelis are hugely concerned with what the United States is saying, although apparently there has been a limited access to some trucks into northern part of Gaza in the last 24 hours. About 100 or so aid trucks have gone through. But that basically, I think, is a fairly small thing. It's really just to respond to the Americans. I think the situation we're in now is that essentially Netanyahu can act with impunity. It's clear the United States is not going to pull the plug on what Israel is doing. It could do so because Israel is so dependent on American weaponry. But for a number of political reasons, the United States is not prepared to do so. And Netanyahu knows this. So this is why we're seeing the further attacks in across Lebanon and also the ongoing problems in Gaza, where I gather the death toll is now 42,500 people, including 16,000 plus children. And that doesn't account for these thousands of people who are still buried under the rubble. So essentially, the war is continuing. There isn't, I think, any prospect of a major change this side of the American election. But the big issue is whether there's going to be an Israeli strike on Iran. And that, I think, is the real thing to watch over the next week or so.
Now, the Israelis, one presumes, has a certain stockpile of weapons anyway. So if the Americans in 30 days' time said, your humanitarian efforts are not enough, we are not sending you certain systems, presumably, I mean, they wouldn't deprive them of Iron Dome ammunition, and they've already deployed this high-altitude defense system to help Israel defend its skies.
Yes, and I think that THAAD system, was it the Tactical High-Altitude Air Defense System, is essentially really an indication. The United States has had its own permanent presence of military personnel in Israel for more than a decade on an advanced radar system, the X-band radar system, down in the Negev Desert. But now it's putting in this THAAD system, again, with active service U.S. personnel. And that is actually going into Israel itself. So it's clear that in many ways the United States sees this war as one which it has to fight alongside Israel. Now, you're quite right, obviously, that Israel can continue for a while, but not for very long. I mean, for a start, the systems which enable these large bombs to be very, very accurate are basically an American system. And in fact, the remnants of one was actually found in the ruins of one of the buildings that was destroyed in Beirut just last week. So the relationship is extremely close. And there isn't any real end to that. And one has to remember that the United States has a very tough relationship with Iran. This goes right back to the time of the Shah and the revolution, and when all those American hostages were kept basically imprisoned by the Young Guard for 444 days, I think it was. And right since then, the American attitude to Iran has been problematic, I think, for both sides, more so than, in fact, Britain. Britain has relatively rather better relations with Iran. But it's the United States that counts here. And I think this is one of the reasons why Israel can expect pretty strong support, maybe not in public, but certainly in private, if any action is taken against Iran. And this is why you've had this extra system put into Israel to protect Israel from any subsequent Iranian retaliation.
Now, it's reported that Israeli officials, including Netanyahu himself, have assured the United States that the counterstrike on Iran, whenever it happens, would be limited to military targets rather than oil or nuclear facilities. Now, what does that mean?
Well, I think it's probably there's a degree of practicality here. The nuclear facilities, as far as is known, are extremely well protected. They're deep underground, deep into mountains. And while it would be possible to disrupt the entrances and exits, beyond that, it probably is not easy to destroy them, except by actually putting special forces in, which nobody's intent on doing that. So I think that would be very much a symbolic thing. It doesn't mean it won't happen, but any attack on the nuclear facilities will be largely symbolic or limited to things which can contribute indirectly to any nuclear campaign. On the oil side, I think the United States is somewhat ambivalent there, because it's certainly true that if there were major strikes on any kind of Iranian facility, the Iranians would probably use that as a reason to strike some of the Saudi facilities, and indeed Israel's own oil facilities. And that could lead to a very big increase in oil prices worldwide. Now, the paradox of that is, because the United States has gone so much into fracking, the United States is actually now a net oil exporter and will benefit from the higher prices. But the chaos in the world's market is such that I don't think the United States would really want that in any case. And it may well be that while Israel is looking at that as a possibility, it's a fairly distant possibility, whereas major attacks on any kind of Iranian military facilities from an Israeli perspective is seen as something which would be quite effective and also would be acceptable to the United States, whatever it says in public.
Now, Hezbollah's Deputy Secretary General has called on the Israelis to accept a ceasefire in Lebanon or face pain. In other words, hitting Israel itself and presumably killing people and damaging perhaps infrastructure. Is that an empty threat? Do they have the capability to inflict pain on Israel?
It's not clear. I mean, Hezbollah has a huge stock of missiles and rockets, far, far more than Hamas has or indeed ever had. What isn't clear is whether they start to use some of their longer range ones in a kind of combined raid with other things, whether some of those will get through. I think the Israelis were rather shocked by the way in which one particular missile got through just 2 or 3 days ago and killed 4 Israeli soldiers and injured, I think, perhaps something like 60. And that seems to have been one of the instances where things did get through. But overwhelmingly, Israel has the military superiority. But, and it is a big but, it's possible that a major sort of combined Hezbollah attack would actually get through, maybe even to the key city of Tel Aviv. And that, I think, would be the something of a game changer, I think, because it would show that even now Israel has a degree of vulnerability.
Is it any clearer to you, Paul, what the end game is for Netanyahu? I mean, the idea of killing every Hezbollah commander, killing every Hamas commander, and, you know, completely demilitarizing both Lebanon and Gaza as a threat to Israel. I mean, is that possible?
No, I do not think it's possible. And what the other side to all of this is, what has already happened in this year-long war is that Israel is steadily becoming less and less secure. Now, how can you say that when they're doing so much? The reality is they're really beginning to produce new major generations of young people, Palestinians, who basically will be prepared to give their lives in any action against Israel. And if you look at the history, you know, the 100-year war, as some people call it, since, what, 1917, really, right through to the present time, you've always had this sort of response. It's a slow response. So in other words, Israel may well be able to crush revolt and kill a huge number of people and basically reduce Gaza to very little and Lebanon to a deeply failed state. In the short term, that may seem to work. In the long term, by which I mean between 5 and 25 years, it will be disastrous for Israel. But that's not something I'm afraid that the Israeli government can accept. And very few Israelis see it that way at the present time.
In summary, is it fair to say that Israel doesn't necessarily care about whether it is admired or not globally? All it cares about it is that it is feared locally.
I think that's very true. And this takes us back to the sheer impact of the 7th of October. One should never underestimate what Hamas did and intended to do. What is done is putting the whole position of the Palestinians really center stage in a particular way. I mean, the degree to which Israel is actually viewed across many countries as a kind of rogue state is quite chilling. And I'm not sure that basically the Israeli government cares about this. And I don't think many Israelis realize just how far this has gone. But the end result basically is that in the longer term, this will not work. It's what we call lidism. You keep the lid on things, but eventually it boils over in another way. And that is where we are. But for the moment, I don't think ordinary people in Israel can realize this, because even now, the shock of the 7th of October has not really gone in deeply enough for them to recognize that new action has to be taken if they're going to avoid this kind of thing in the future.
Paul Rogers, Emeritus Professor of Peace Studies at Bradford University, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.